Well, good morning, everyone. Great to have you with us. Thanks for being with us. We are in the, as Ben said, the second week of our series called Jumpstart. And I like this series because many of you are just getting started in faith. We know this. And so is this going to help you kind of jumpstart this new journey that you are on? Others of you have maybe put your faith a little bit on the back burner, and you're looking at 2018 as being a time of, hey, we're just going to dive in, we're going to focus more on our faith, and we're looking at these five major principles, values that need to be a part of your life, and it's going to be a great jump start for your faith as well. And then for others of us, we just need to be reminded and refreshed on these values that need to be lived out and influenced by our faith. I'm just looking forward to the more that God has for us. Last week, Pastor Steve began starting with one of our key values, which is our worship value, which is that it all belongs to God. And what he talked to us about was that all that we have and all that we are belongs to God. So if you happen to miss that, you might want to pick up on it by going to our website and catching up on that message. Today, we're talking about another major value for us. It's a value that's related to relationships and how our relationships influence our faith and how our faith should influence our relationships. I wonder if you've ever noticed about how a couple that has been married for like 25 or 30 years or so, how they begin looking like one another. Have you kind of noticed that, like in your own life? You're looking at people, your grandparents or your parents, and you're thinking, man, they're kind of starting to look like one another. And they start taking on the mannerisms, you know, and the characteristics of one another, even if they started out in the relationship not even looking like one another at all. Now, this first couple is one that they're kind of starting out looking like one another. You know, they kind of look like brother and sister, actually. You know, it'd be kind of, I don't know. I mean, even their teeth are kind of the same, right? But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking more about this. I mean, see, here's a couple. They're starting to look like one another. I mean, their hair is the same color. They got maybe the same facial features. Their smile looks alike. They're even beginning to dress alike with one another. Maybe this will be Julie and me in 20 years. I don't know. I kind of hope not, but maybe so. I don't know. But if you notice that also, it's not only people you hang out with that influence maybe how the you know your features and your manner. Maybe it could be your pet. Have you ever noticed these pictures on the internet of people who look like their pets? Have you seen this? I mean, look at this one. I mean, did he choose the dog because it looks like him, or is he morphing into his dog? I mean, I don't know. And then I came across this guy who's just, he's way, way too much. I love dogs, but way too into his dog. I mean, he even says, I feel such a bond with my dog that I really feel like we need to be dressing like one another. So are you ready for this? Yeah, there you go. You know, that, it's too far. It's too far. You don't go there. I mean, you need to draw the line further back. I mean, the guy needs, he needs a different hobby or something, right? But then I began thinking about Julie and myself. I think, you know, we've been married for going on 33 years in March. We've been together with dating and with marriage for like 39 years. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe, I wonder if this is true for us. I wonder if we're starting to look like one. So I grabbed an old picture, and this is a picture back, I don't know, a few years ago, whatever. And then I had someone take a picture to see if maybe we're starting to look like one another. And sure enough, I think we're starting to look like one another. I'm pretty sure. I'm going to move on because I don't want you to be emotionally scarred with that Photoshop picture. The point is this, of course. The time you spend with somebody, and the more time you spend with them, you begin taking on the characteristics and the mannerisms, really, even in behaviors of their life. There's something going on with the women in our family. It began with Julie's mom, Louise, and I noticed that when I was dating Julie, that after breakfast or after dinner, you know, she would take, if there was happened to be a paper napkin around, she would take that paper napkin and she would fold it in the quarters and she'd put her coffee cup on top of it. Whatever. And then later on, after Julie and I had been married for a while, we were having, it was after dinner or after breakfast or something, Julie had a cup of coffee, I noticed there was a paper napkin around. I noticed she grabbed that paper napkin and she folded in the quarters and put her coffee cup on top of it. Why'd she do it? Because she'd hung around Louise for, she grew up in her house, right? And she picked up on this mannerism for whatever reason. That's what she did. So it shouldn't have surprised us then when just a couple years ago, we get this text from our daughter who sends us a picture, guess what, of a paper napkin folded into quarters with her coffee cup on top of it with a text alongside says, my goodness, I've turned into my mother, you know. What, you know, we tend to pick up the mannerisms and the characteristics of people who are close to us. Now, you know this. You've probably picked up similar behaviors. You probably see this in your family. Your kids have picked up some of your behaviors. You picked up behaviors of your parents or people who are close to you, whatever the case might be. You know, you pick up some of the words that they speak, some of their mannerisms, those sorts of things, simply because you spend a lot of time with them, right? And you know that this is the case. You know that this influence is out there because of how you were parented by your parents. Remember the first time you brought to the attention of your parents someone that was a new friend of yours? And do you remember, like, the third degree you got from that conversation? It was like, oh, tell me about this boy. Does he go to your school? Oh, he does. Okay, so does he make good grades? Is he on any athletic teams? Is he in the French club? Tell me about his mom and dad. Does his mom work? Where does she work? Where does your dad work? Where do they live? I mean, you got all this third degree. Why did you do it? Because they were concerned about who you hung out with, right? Because they knew that you begin to look like the people you hang out with and who influence your life. You pick up their behaviors. You pick up their values. You pick up their worldview. And now you as a parent, guess what? You're doing exactly the same thing, but you have electronic surveillance. You're Googling names, right? And you are creeping on Facebook accounts, and you're scrolling through Instagram and Twitter accounts. You're looking at text messages, right? Why are you doing this? Because you know what your parents knew when they parented you, and you totally ignored that who you hang out with makes a difference in who you become. You know that. That's why you are electronically surveilling your kids. I remember Clayton King one time saying this. He said, show me your friends, and I'll show you your future. It's true. Now, grandparents, you're holding your tongue, aren't you? And you're biting your lip because you don't want to interfere too much. But you know, that bad company corrupts good character. And you're concerned for your grandkids. Because in your lifetime, you've seen too many people keep the wrong company and crash and burn because of it. Now, here's something for all of us. The concern that your parents had for you and the concern that you have for your kids, you should have for yourself. Because the same principle holds for you. The worldview, the perspective, the behavior, the values of your closest companions influence you. It's easy to accept them and have them, and then to adopt them, to have them be a part of your behavior. We look like who we hang out with. Now, there's tons of research that's been done on this that's revealed this fact, but you don't need it. All you have to do is look back at certain instances in your life when you know this is true. You just know it's true. This has been going on for thousands of years. As a matter of fact, almost 3,000 years ago, there's a man by the name of King Solomon who at that time was described as the wisest man to have ever lived. He uncovered this truth, and he wrote about it this way. This is what he said. Walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. This is what he's saying. Our relationships will either make us wise or bring us harm. It's one or the other. If you show me who you're hanging out with, I can show you what your future will be. And when we hang out with people who are our friends, who have behaviors and attitudes and perspectives that we might not even agree with. We tend to accept them, and the things we tend to accept, we tend to adopt. And it affects our lives. Our relationships influence the quality and the outcome of our lives. You've heard the old adage before, haven't you, that you can't soar with the eagles when you're running with the turkeys, right? Where do you think the wisdom of that adage came from? It came from this verse. It came from Solomon. So here's what I want to do. I want to start in the back half of this verse because these are the memories that are probably most a part of who we are. And this is what Solomon said. He said, a companion of fools suffers harm. Who we hang out with makes a difference in how we live our lives. Many of us are walking billboards of this part of the verse. We can point back to times in our lives when we were hanging around the wrong crowd and our lives got derailed. We were running with turkeys and turkey kinds of things began happening in our lives. Your first cigarette, your first drink, your first hit, your first snort, your first exposure to pornography, chances are your firsts were with someone, who was a close companion or was influenced by somebody who was a close companion of yours. You were on a turkey run, and turkey things began happening in your lives. Now, here's something that I've learned that I want to pass on to you that I think is important for us to understand what Solomon and the Bible is talking about when the Bible, or in this case, King Solomon, is referring to a fool. A fool is not somebody who's dumb. A fool is not necessarily unintelligent. A fool is negligent. They're just careless. They're reckless. They don't pay attention to the consequences. They don't even seem to care about the consequences. There are many people, very smart people, who are involved with careless or reckless behavior, and they know their behavior is careless or reckless. They just somehow think that they're going to slide through the consequences or somehow everything's going to work out in the end. Fools aren't necessarily dumb. They can be smart, but they're just careless and reckless. Solomon says that if your companionship is with people who are living carelessly or recklessly in some part of their life, you are putting your own life at risk. You don't have to adopt the behavior of someone to be affected by it. You don't have to participate in the drinking of someone who gets drunk and drives. But if you put yourself in the car, your life is being affected by it. And too many of us are putting our lives in the car. If you're hanging around people who are careless with their words, you're not going to be encouraged to be careful with yours. And they being careless with their words, you're going to be hurt by them. And because they're close to you, you're going to accept their behavior, and you might even adopt it yourself, and people around you are going to get hurt by your words. If you have friends that are careless about their health and about their diet, you're not going to be encouraged. You're not going to be challenged to be careful with yours. And your health might suffer harm. If you have friends who don't give proper care to their marriage, they're not establishing the right boundaries in their relationship, you're not going to be encouraged, you're not going to be challenged, you're not going to be held accountable for establishing the appropriate boundaries in your relationship. And because you don't establish those boundaries, then your relationship is going to be put at risk. If you have friends who are careless with their money, you're not going to be challenged to be careful with yours, and your financial life might be put at risk. If you have friends who don't care about faith, they're reckless with it, they're careless with it, you're not going to be challenged or encouraged to be careful with yours. You're not going to be encouraged to be taking positive, strong steps in your relationship with Jesus Christ, and eventually your faith is going to suffer harm. Why? Because a companion of fools suffers harm. When you're around people who are careless and reckless, you are affected by it. It's inescapable. Now, some of you are tempted to think, and I've talked to people like this, that you think you have this iron constitution, that somehow you can be around whatever you want, be around whomever you wish, you can be around whatever behaviors, any attitudes, whatever, and you're not affected by it. It's not true. You can use that as your justification, but everybody around you know it's not true. You're a different person around different people. Solomon says you're wrong if that's your viewpoint. And if you're honest with yourself, and if you've been hanging around people who are reckless and careless, you would have to admit, in your most honest private moments, you would have to admit, my life is not where it could be or where it should be. I've missed out on the more that God might have for me. On the other hand, It is possible to soar with the eagles. And when you soar with the eagles, eagles kinds of stuff begins happening to you. And this is what Solomon said. He said, walk with the wise and become wise. This is a promise. If you start walking with wise people, wisdom is going to start infiltrating and becoming a part of your life, and you're going to begin acting more wisely. In my own experience, this has happened to me. When we began coming to this church 28, 29 years ago, however long it's been, I started getting around people who, they were really serious about their faith. Their faith was impacting every aspect of their lives. I mean, not just the select pieces and what they wanted or whatever, and it wasn't only a Sunday deal. I mean, every part of their life, their calendar, their time, whatever it was, their finances, their employment, their business, all of it was impacted by their faith. And wow, I was challenged. I was challenged to have that faith impact every aspect of my life as well. And I started getting wiser in how I was living my life. And by God's grace, as I became wiser in that and became stronger in it, then my life, he allowed to influence the lives of other people positively. When you soar with eagles, eagles kinds of stuff begins happening in your life. I want you to listen to a story of someone in our church who made a conscious decision to change his company, to begin walking with the wise. I want you to listen to what happened in his life. I want you to listen to the relationships that he had and how those relationships were pulling him up rather than dragging him down, especially when he and his family were going through a difficult time. I want you to listen to Bruce's story.
I don't know if my wife and I would have made it through what we went through because we wouldn't have prayed about it. We wouldn't have had people praying for us. I think it would have tore us apart. But because of our grace group, they would call, they would pray, and we got through it. Before I became involved with the group, I had no church activity other than coming to church, and it was a facade. I was the person that came into church, and I was the same person when I went home. I mean, I acted like I was a good person, but I wasn't a good person. When I became a Christian, I try to put myself with people that are like-minded or that are Christians, because I don't need bad influences in my life. I need good influence in my life. Not that the people I hung out with were bad influences. They just weren't my best choices. It's just awesome to be with people that study the Word and want to be in the Word just as much as you want to be in the Word. It's like my Sunday's not complete if I don't go to my grace group. There's times I can't go or if I'm sick or, you know, but I mean, I love my grace group.
Bruce's story could be yours. Many of you are coming in here on Sunday morning, and we're grateful that you are a part of this because this is part of walking with the wise. You're making positive inputs into your life. But many of you scramble in and you scoot out, and you don't allow any kind of interaction with people who can help pull you up. There's nothing else that's a part of your week where you're associating with people who are trying to walk wisely as you desire to, and your association with them will help pull you up, and your association with them will help you pull them up as well. And you're missing out. You're missing out on the life change that you desire in your life and that God wants to bring into your life. If I were to stand on the edge of this stage and I were to invite somebody to come up and grab hold of my hand and we were to pull on one another, would it be easier for that person to pull me down or for me to pull them up? Well, obviously, it's easier for that person to pull me down. Those people are dime a dozen. Those people are out there. You can just run into people like that, right, who are willing to pull you down rather than pull you up. That's why the companions you have, the people who are closer to you, your closest companions should pull you up rather than drag you down. What does this mean for us? How do I put myself in a position where people are pulling me up rather than dragging me down? What kind of relationships do I need to be having in my life for that to take place? Well, let me talk about two kinds of people that need to be a part of every person's life. All right, two kinds of people that will, if you associate with them, they will be pulling you up rather than dragging you down. Okay, the first group is this, mentors. I think every person needs to have a mentor. A mentor is somebody who goes ahead of you. This is, I'd like to consider a mentor kind of like a coach, somebody who is going to be challenging me to goals in my life that I would like to attain, that are helpful for me, that pull me up. So, for example, you might need a spiritual coach. You might need somebody who's going to be challenging you in your character and your faith. You might need a financial coach, someone who's going to challenge you about how to steward your money in a way that honors God, much like Pastor Steve talked about last week with it all belongs to God. You might need a vocational coach. You might need somebody who's ahead of you in life, who can help you with your business or help you with your vocation or help you with your profession, that will build that profession or that business in a way that honors God and you can leverage it for the glory of God. I encourage you to find some sort of mentor or mentors who can be a part of your life, who will challenge you and encourage you, who are ahead of you in life, who can pull you along, okay, who can pull you up. There's a second group of people that I think you need to have a part of your life, and that is this, partners. I think everybody needs partners. I'm not talking about somebody you're eventually going to spend the rest of your life with. I'm talking about a group of friends, a group of people who are walking alongside you. If a mentor is ahead of you, a partner walks alongside you. Partners are colleagues in the faith who want to walk with you in life. That's what you heard in Bruce's story, right? Bruce made this conscious decision to leave a certain kind of company and be a part of another kind of company where wisdom was being invested into his life. People who shared the same aspirations that he had. People who were pursuing Christ just like he was. People that when he got together with them were pulling him up. And when he joined that group, he was pulling them up as well. That's a partner in the faith. I think every person needs to have mentors and partners as a part of their faith. Here's the bottom line that I want you to write down. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Life is better together when you're together with people who make you better. The only time life is better together is when you are together with people who make you better. Walk with the wise and become wise. Now, some of you are followers of Jesus Christ, and you are screaming in your minds, and I'm glad you are, this thought. Wait a second. There was a time in my life when I was acting foolishly. I was acting carelessly. I was acting recklessly. And God found a way to bring somebody into my life that helped me right the ship, who introduced me into a relationship with Jesus Christ, who challenged me in faith, and I began walking with the wise. But there was a time when I wasn't that way, and God sent somebody my way. Isn't there something in the Bible where Jesus said that we should be in the world but not of it? 100%. I'm with you 100%. But the key is this, isn't it? The key is to be an influencer, not being the influencee, not being the one who is influenced by negative or foolish or reckless or careless behaviors. And when we walk with the wise, it strengthens us so that when we enter into a relationship with somebody who is reckless or careless, and we want to have a positive influence on their lives, we have the strength to do so. So what are some of my next steps? Well, it seems to me that there are three steps that each one of us can take if we want to have a life that is walking with the wise, where life will be better because we are together with people who are better. The first one is this. Turn from detractors. You have to turn from detractors. Now, so far, we've been just talking about people who are careless or reckless and having a negative influence on your life. But for many of us, our detractors aren't people, or at least they're not only people. For many of you, your detractors are cyberspace. For you, the foolish and reckless behavior is found in the internet world, or in the movies, or wherever it might be. Your companions have names like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Pinterest, cable TV, satellite TV, movies, gaming stations, Hulu, Netflix, the list goes on and on and on. And what you are listening to, and what you are watching, and what you are reading is negatively influencing your behaviors, negatively influencing your life and your attitudes. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against media. I have social media accounts. I don't post to them very much, but I have social media accounts. I'm good at creeping on other ones, but I don't have social media accounts, all right? I do. We have Netflix in our home. I go to movies. It's not the media. It's the content. And some of you are being reckless and careless about the content. Now, every time I talk about this, I always get pushback because I always talk to somebody who thinks that, look, I can watch whatever I want, and I can listen to whatever I want, and I can read whatever I want. It won't affect me. It just goes off me like water off a duck's back. It's not true. It's not true. You can talk yourself into thinking that's the case. You can justify it that way all you want. It's just not true. You can't just watch whatever you want and listen to whatever you want and read whatever you want and not think it's going to affect your life. It is. Be wise. Turn from detractors. Number two, find a mentor. Find someone who is ahead of you in life, who is able to challenge you in a particular area of life. I strongly encourage you to start with the faith component first and then work out from that. But find a mentor. Number three, find some partners. Find some people that you can get with and that you can be encouraged with, that you can do life with, who are going to be challenging you in your faith. Now, we've got records at the church, and we've been looking at those records, and I know enough to know that there are 1,000 of you, at least 1,000 of you, who are not a part of any kind of group, a Sunday morning group or a grace group of some sort, 1,000 of you. You need partners. You need to join a group where people are going to be encouraging you and walking along with you in your faith, challenging you to be the person that you desire to be spiritually. On your response card, in your worship program, I encourage you to take this out. If you're not a part of a group yet, I encourage you to take this out, and under my next step prayer request, I just want you to write the word group. And we will do our level best to try to make sure you get involved with a group so that you can walk with the wise and become wise. We'll do our best. There's another 1,300 of you who are part of a group. Congratulations. I'm glad for that. I hope you're benefiting from your group. I hope that your story is much like Bruce's story. But I also know that there are quite a few of you who are on the roster of a group, but maybe your attendance is a little hit or miss, maybe more miss than hit. And you're looking at 2018 as a time maybe to re-up your commitment. Let me encourage you to make your group participation a non-negotiable item on your calendar. Now, like Bruce said, there are times that are going to come up. You're not going to be able to make it. I mean, you're going to be sick, or you're going to have a calendar conflict that you cannot avoid. That kind of stuff happens. We're not talking about that. You're smart people. You get this. But don't allow your group time to be a negotiable time, where you can easily dismiss it. Where it's not, oh, well, it's not, I just got group tonight, I can do that. No, it's got to be a good reason. Make it a good reason to miss your group. Why? Because if you walk with the wise, you become wise. And your consistent participation in the lives of people who will pull you up will pull your life up. And it gives you the opportunity to pull others up as well. Now, I want to be clear about something. We're not talking about this because we're interested in becoming good people. We're talking about this because we're interested in becoming godly people. We're interested in being people who are acquiring and living out the wisdom of God in our lives. And the only way that you're going to get the wisdom that you need for the life that you want to live and to experience the life change that you're looking for in your life is through a relationship with God. You need that kind of wisdom in your life. There's another proverb that says this: One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. That's another way of saying a companion of fools suffers harm. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And friends, throughout Scripture, it's very clear that the person who sticks closer than a brother is Jesus. And I'm encouraging you today, I'm challenging you today to establish that relationship with Jesus Christ today. You might be someone who's looking back in your life, and you look at those times when you were hanging around the wrong people, and you were allowing the wrong influences in your life. And you know those things that you did are standing in the way of a relationship with the God of the universe. There's only one way for that to be removed, and that's to be forgiven. And the reason that Jesus came and died for you on the cross to take the penalty for your sin, and the reason he rose from the dead, is so that you can be forgiven of your sin and live eternally with him. For you, a jump start in your faith is a new start with faith by entering into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to strongly encourage you to begin that relationship today. Why don't you bow with me in prayer? So, Lord, I do thank you for the wisdom that you provide for us, that's available to us because of our relationship with you and of the wisdom of others that you have brought across our path. I pray for those today who are making a decision, maybe even just wrestling with a decision in their hearts because they're not ready yet to let go. I pray that you would allow them to release their pride and look forward to what you have for them in this eternal, vital relationship with you. If you're making that decision today, if you're reaching out to Jesus and you're asking him to forgive you of your sin, maybe this is the first time you've ever prayed. Let me encourage you to pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I know the wrong in my past is standing between you and me. I'm asking you to forgive it so that you will remove it from my life. I'm asking you to give me new life. I believe that Jesus died for me on the cross, taking the penalty for the wrongdoing that I have against you. And I believe that Jesus rose from the dead to give me new life. I'm reaching out to you today to be forgiven and to receive that new life. If that's the commitment you're making, on that response card in that same white box, I want you to write the name Jesus to let me know that you're beginning this new journey of faith with him. Lord, I pray that we will be a church that walks with the wise, and that by doing so, you will do a work in us so that you will do a work through us, that you will allow our lives to positively influence people who maybe right now, because they just don't know or understand, are living a reckless and careless life with dire consequences down the road. Allow us to be the kind of people that you are changing, that you might bring life change through us as well. In Christ's name, amen.